This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, it's been said true friendship is seen through the heart, not the eyes. It's been said a true friend who is one who knows all about you and likes you anyway. It's been said one of the best ways to lose a friend is to tell him something for his own good. You've tried it? Did it work? It's been said he who casts aside a friend like an old shoe is a heel without a soul. And it's been said friendship doubles your joy and divides your grief. And if you've had a true friend, and if you've been a true friend, you know the truth behind those sayings. So this morning I'd like to share the wisdom of Scripture as it talks about friendship. And I'd like us to begin by examining what Jesus had to say. And it's in your Bibles, John chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. And I'm going to ask you to stand as I read John chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. John 15, verse 12, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 1. Jesus is not mincing words. He commands us to love one another as he has loved you. Are you loved by Jesus this morning? There are people who don't feel loved by Jesus. There are people who think because of the things they've done in their past that God couldn't possibly love them, that Jesus couldn't possibly love them. But he makes it crystal clear that he loves you, and he wants you to take that love and not hang on to it. He wants you to share it. Love is infectious. People need to be loved this morning. People need to know that somebody loves them and cares for them. How did Jesus express his love? Verse 13, he loved enough to lay down his life for you. Not just for you, but for me and all humanity. That is a very high bar. This is a high bar so high that you probably will never have to live up to it. But you might. The day may come in our culture when loving Jesus will be wrong. Being a Christian will be outlawed. It might become difficult. It's happened in other countries. People have paid a heavy price to be Christians and love Jesus. But we have this morning some lesser standards by which we can measure our degree of love for a friend and for one another. I'd like to share a number of verses that will help you remember what the Bible says about friendship and will challenge some of your ideas and how you relate to your friends. Number one, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. So a true friend loves you in your good days. We've got them, right? And in your bad days. How many of you ever had bad days? Days when you think you're better off locking yourself in a closet and not coming out? Bad days like that, when you're suffering or rejoicing, when your attitude is positive, or when your attitude stinks. A friend will be there for all of those times. A true friend loves you. Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. In other words, to have a friend, you must be a friend. You must be a friend. It's a reciprocal relationship, one of give and take. You're going to have as many good and bad days as your friend. And if you don't stand by that friend when the storm clouds gather, why should that friend stand by you? Why? How do you react when a friend has a bad day? Well, I mean, phone call. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and he'll say, call so-and-so. Now, that's happened to me so many times in my life. And when I've done what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do, when I call that person, guess what? They'll say to me, I needed that. I needed that call at that particular time. Pray for that person. You're a prayer partner. You need to be a prayer warrior for somebody. I challenge you this morning. Are you a prayer partner with somebody? Are you praying for different individual that the Lord lays on your heart day by day? Are you sending a card? It's so wonderful in our congregation for us to receive our birthday cards and our get well cards from people in the congregation. It's a ministry here. Nobody told you to do it, but you're doing it. Taking meals to folks who have a need. And yes, crying with those who cry and laughing with those that laugh. In other words, just be there for these folks. A real friend is the one who walks in when everyone else walks out. Proverbs 18:24, the second half of the verse, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Anybody know who that friend is? Jesus. That sentiment is certainly true of Jesus. And why shouldn't it be true of all of us? Having friends and being a friend can and should be seen as a lifetime investment. It's something we're investing in every day. We don't take our friends for granted. Friends are hard to come by, amen? True friends are hard to come by. Proverbs 27:10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Which means there is great value in long, tried, and constant friends. God instructs us never to forget and never to neglect our friends. We can neglect the people we love. Those are the friends who really do stick. Of course, they're not perfect, but there is a mutual devotion despite those imperfections. If you have a perfect friend, call me. I'd like to become friends with that person. And if you consider me a friend, call me because I'll tell you how all my imperfections.
Just to set the record straight.
The late satirist and commentator Andy Rooney, you might remember him from CBS, he said, good old friends are worth keeping, whether you like them or not. Having friends and cultivating those relationships is a risky business. Anytime you give your love to somebody, it's wreaked with risk. You're sending your most vulnerable emotions out to somebody. And as a result, that person can hurt you. When you love, be aware of the fact that loving is a wonderful and beautiful and godly emotion. Pure love. But also remember that it can hurt. Psalm 41:9 speaks to that. Yea, mine own friends in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. Pretty powerful. Some friends may betray us, may betray our love. Do you know a friend who betrayed you? Have you one? Has someone betrayed that love and hurt you? You're human. I will assume every single person here, even if you don't raise your hand, at some time or another has been hurt by someone you love. Do you know someone in the Bible who had such a friend? You do. Jesus. Who at the Last Supper told his disciples that soon one of them would betray him. And then he revealed that it was Judas. There are many reasons why Judas was a part of Jesus' circle of friends, even though the Lord knew in advance that Judas would betray him. You know, the idea that the Messiah would have a friend who would betray him is in the Old Testament. In other words, 700 years before Jesus came to earth, it was already documented that he, the Messiah, would have an acquaintance, a friend, a person close to him who would betray him. And it was so specific, it said that that betrayal would have a price. And it said exactly how many pieces of silver would be given to the betrayer to betray Jesus. And that's exactly what happened in Jesus' time there in the garden. He was betrayed by a kiss. Betrayed by a kiss. One of those reasons that Jesus took him into his circle was to warn us. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Choose your friends closely. Be careful. But there are two truths that can be gleaned from those verses. Number one, to the best of your ability, know the people you choose to be a friend, know their habits, and know their character. Number two, for better or for worse, your friends influence you. How many kids started smoking because their friends influenced them to do it? Who are the influences in your life? Who are the ones that are feeding inputs into your mind through your eyes, molding and shaping your thoughts, your attitudes, your opinions? Regardless of what the issue might be, someone is inputting you with stuff. And for so much of what we see on television and on the news and surrounded by it, most of the stuff, I hope you will agree with me, is negative. So much is negative, and the Bible is filled with positives. And Paul writes, think upon the beautiful stuff. Think upon the pure stuff. Think upon the stuff that's true. You have control over your thoughts. Don't let somebody else influence your thoughts, because all of your actions start up here. Your behavior starts up here. So what's being fed into that computer up there? What is it? Ask yourself that. So important as you think about those whom you will call friends and bring into your circle of confidence and the influencers in your life. Choose them carefully. Even if it's the news media you're listening to, ask yourself, are your friends, are the influences in your life influencing you in a positive way in your life and in your relationship to Jesus? Does this friend or influencer give biblical counseling when you need advice? Is your conversation, and is that conversation pleasing to the Lord? Does your friend pray with you? Does this friend encourage you to walk with Christ or go in the opposite direction? So many things pulling us away from the Lord. The further away they are, they can still influence us. But the closer they grow, the stronger their influence is. Proverbs 22:11. A true friend has our best at heart and doesn't lie to us. You are a true friend, you'll want only the best for your friend. And the very best for your friend and mine is that we share Jesus with them. Amen. Share the gospel of love, salvation, eternal life with them. How can we best do that? There are two kinds of sermons. One you can hear and one you can see. One you can hear and one you can see. Someone has written these truths. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. Someone else wrote, "Fine counsel can confuse me, but examples are always clear. The lectures you delivered may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do." People are watching you. You're a Christian. You're branded. You're marked. You let it be known. And what are they seeing when they see you? You're influencing people even when you don't open your mouth, if they know you're a Christian. Good godly friends are a gift to us from God, and there is something therapeutic about that. Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. As the Apostle Paul was bound by ship for prison, you may remember this account in the book of Acts, as they reached the seaport of Sidon. Now remember, Paul's on a ship. He knows he's heading for execution. He knows he's going to die when he gets to Rome. He's still going to plead his case, but he thinks the deck is stacked against him. He's exhausted, he's depressed, and he's empty. And one of his guards on board, a centurion named Julius, arranged for Paul to have liberty on shore. Acts 27:3 tells us, Paul took the opportunity and went on to his friends to refresh himself. So here he is, heading on a ship out to Rome, which will eventually be capsized in a storm. He winds up on an island in Malta. But here he is, and he's thinking about what's happening in the future. Have you ever had something daunting in your future that you didn't want to happen and you weren't really looking forward to it? But you knew that the day was coming and it grew closer and closer and closer. For some of you, that may be tax day. I don't know. But it's a day that you kind of dread. And every day he's on that ship, which he could be looking around and saying, ah, look at the beautiful horizon. Look at the stars. Look at the sun. He's got this thing. And it's really dragging him down. And Luke writes that he went to see his friends and refresh them. He had a wide circle of friends. And when he connected with those friends, his heart was lifted up. Now, you may be under a burden from time to time. Have you been under a burden and called your friend? And that friend spoke to you and you guys communicated. And it wasn't long before your heart was lifted. You know, you bared the burden all by yourself. You brought it to Jesus. He lifted part of the load. And then Jesus brought you to a friend, and that friend lifted the load a little more. It wasn't all on you anymore. The beauty of real Christian friendship. Paul didn't, and Jesus never did, put up barriers between himself and others. He loved everybody. He didn't have winners and losers. He didn't have a list of enemies. They had lists. They had him on his enemies had him on the list, but he said, I pray for my enemies. He loved all, the sick, the poor, the outcast, like the Samaritans. The established powers hated him because he connected with everyone, including the people that the powers despised, including the losers as far as government was concerned. The Bible tells us Jesus was a friend to tax collectors, who were really hated back in those days, and publicans and sinners. That was all the outsiders. He loved the leper. He went over and touched them when everyone else stayed blocks away from them. The connection that he made to every person extends down through the centuries today. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? What does that say? That last line, Christ. While we were yet sinners. In other words, we didn't clean up our act. We didn't get our house in order. We didn't straighten up. We didn't get to a place of perfection. We weren't such goody-goodies. But he loved you when you were desperately in sin. People get saved when they're sinners. And Jesus takes them in. Sinners come in all colors. All national origins, all social status, all economic backgrounds, and all political labels. We choose, we make victims out of people. We pick winners and losers. We put people on top. God doesn't do that. In God's sight, we're all equal. In His eyes, we're all equal. And therefore, all worthy in His eyes of His love. Sin and death and hell make no distinctions. Neither does Jesus love. No distinctions. Back to our text, John 15:15, Jesus says, I have called you, what's that word? Friends. Now, can you get that? Can you get that in your head? Who's Jesus? He's God. He's the creator of the universe. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all everything. He could, you know, the scripture indicates that that if he was about to stub his foot, an angel would have come and grabbed his ankle. But he gave all that up. He could have called 10,000 angels, is a song, so that he didn't have to be crucified. But again, his love drove him to reject all that power. This God of the universe, who is the one orchestrating everything and keeping order out of the chaos of the universe, loves you. And not just says it, but he comes down. 2,000 years ago, he came down to give humanity for all time a message, face to face, eye to eye. God's been telling you all these centuries he loves you, but you didn't listen. Now I'm coming down, and I'm looking you face to face, and I'm telling you I love you, and I'm going to show you that I love you, because I'm going to give myself for you while you are my enemy and while you are in your sin. Wow. Creator God, he who designed and made you, who knew you in the womb long ago, knew it's not good for people to be alone. He gave us the gift of relationship, friendship. What kind of a friend are you? Are you a friend who cares enough to pray every day for your friends? Are you friend enough to invite a friend who doesn't know Jesus here to this place to hear the gospel? Do you love that friend enough to share Jesus with them? Do you love your children, your grandchildren enough to want to see them come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And we have a fellowship here, a family of believers. We want to encourage you. If you know somebody who needs Jesus, talk to them. And give us an opportunity to share the gospel with that folk. We all need a friend. Even the President of the United States needs a friend. And this is a story that I love about Lincoln's friend. And I'll close with this. During the worst days of the Civil War, an old friend of Abraham Lincoln's, a Springfield, Illinois shopkeeper named Billy Brown, decided to travel to Washington to see his old friend, the President of the United States. An aide to the president asked him if he had an appointment. "No, sir," replied Billy, "I ain't, and it ain't necessary. Maybe it's all right and fitting to have appointments, but I reckon Mr. Lincoln's old friends don't need 'em. So you just trot along and tell him Billy Brown's here and see what he says." The aide frowned, but went. In about 2 minutes, the door popped open, and out came Mr. Lincoln, face aglow. "Billy," he said, pumping his friend's hand. "Now, I'm glad to see you. Come right in. You're going to stay to supper with Mary and me." Soon as Lincoln could discharge his immediate responsibilities, the two men went to the back of the house and sat down on the stoop. And as Billy later put it, talked and talked. He asked me about pretty nigh everybody in Springfield. I just let loose and told him about the weddings and the births and the funerals and the buildings. And I guess there weren't nothing I heard in the 3.5 years he'd been away that I didn't spin for him. Laugh? You ought to hear him laugh. Just did my heart good, for I could see what they'd been doing to him. Always was a thin man, but Lordy, he was thinner than ever now. And his face was kind of drawn and gray, enough to make you cry. Late that evening, Billy said goodbye. The president tried to get him to stay the night, but Billy, not wanting to impose, declined. And as they parted, Lincoln said, "Billy, what did you come down here for?" "I came to see you, Mr. Lincoln." "But you ain't asked me for anything, Billy. What is it? Or out with it." "No, Mr. Lincoln. Just wanted to see you. Felt kind of lonesome. Been so long since I'd seen you. And I was afraid I'd forget some of them yarns if I didn't unload 'em soon." Lincoln gazed into his friend's eyes. "Do you mean to tell me that you came all the way from Springfield, Illinois, just to have a visit with me? That you ain't got no complaints in your pockets or advice up your sleeve?" "Yes, sir, that's about it." Tears came to Lincoln's eyes and ran down his cheeks. I'm homesick, Billy. Just plumb homesick. And it seems as if this war would never be over. Many a night I can see the boys dying on the fields, and I can hear their mothers crying for them at home. And I can't help it, Billy. You'll never know just what good you've done me today. Be a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Be a friend. Share Jesus. Share His love. And God bless you. Thank you for being my friends. Let's pray. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious promises of friendship. Give us discernment in those to whom we give our hearts. But we know, Lord, that you will never fail. Your love will never fail. You're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know, Lord, that we can trust you. Help those who love us to be able to trust us too. Help us to be there when people are in need. Help us to be self-sacrificial in that love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.